Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're just going to read very briefly from there to introduce this morning's lesson. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he goes on to describe the general characteristics of people during these perilous times, and it's not a very pretty picture. Well, as you look around in the world today, you see many of these same characteristics. And so I don't think it's a stretch to say that perilous times exist even right now in 2018. But I do know something. It's not the only thing, but I do know something that would put a major dent in these perilous times. Something that would make things a whole lot better. And that is if everybody did this right here. Honor your father and your mother. Imagine how different things would be if everyone obeyed this commandment. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I have verse 2 up there, but let's actually read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Well, obviously, a lot of people are going to pick out this special day, this national holiday, Mother's Day, to honor their mother. And I guess the same will be done in June when Father's Day rolls around. But obviously, this is something that is a continuing obligation, not just on these special days. Honor your father and mother. And I think we all understand that in doing so, we are actually honoring Christ. It's not just a thing where, okay, this is what we owe them and so forth. We're actually honoring our Savior when we honor our parents. And speaking of our Savior, we're not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I felt like we needed to get this out there in the very beginning. Think about Jesus and his relationship to his parents. We know that he was subject to them in all things, Luke chapter 2. And that's just sort of a kind of a general summary of the way he treated his parents and so forth. But obviously he was the perfect example, like he was in everything else, of honoring his parents. But think about the fact that here is one who was involved in the creation of the universe. The whole Godhead certainly was involved, but Jesus was an essential part of creating everything. Fully deity. God. And yet he comes to this earth and he subjects himself to two people. Can you imagine God now sitting in this home and he's subject to every beckoning call of his parents? Take the trash out. Go cut some wood. He's having to do everything he's told to do by these people. That's God who's. And so we say that to say this. As children, let's not ever get to thinking, I just don't like this whole idea of being told what to do. I'm my own person and everything. Here is God subjecting himself to these two people. And so what a wonderful example he is of what we ought to be. But what we want to do in the remainder of the lesson is just talk about seven ways to honor our parents. Honor means to value, to prize, to cherish, to revere. And I think of the word value, it makes me think of, okay, just what kind of price tag would you put on the value of parents? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Talk about a fruitless endeavor. Parents are valuable, right? We need to treat them as such. Let's get in and look at some of the ways. One of them was right here in the text that we just read. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, sometimes we might obey our parents in terms of we actually did what they told us to do. But what may be missing in that is what we might call the spirit of obedience. In other words, we did what they said, but we didn't exactly do it willingly. And maybe there was some complaining, some murmuring, I believe what's implied here is children, obey your parents in the Lord willingly and without a word of complaint. When you do that, certainly they will be honored. Certainly they will appreciate this sort of treatment. But you will also be well-pleasing to the Lord. In fact, look in Colossians chapter 3. Just a couple of books over in Colossians 3. And verse 20. Children, sometimes you're looking for maybe a good practical way. What is it that I need to do to be pleasing to the Lord? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Anybody have any trouble misunderstanding that verse? That's about as plain as it can be. And I love the simplicity of the Ephesians 6:1 and this one right here. Obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. There you have it right there. And that's all really that we need to know. That gets back to what we said in the introduction. When we honor them, we honor Him. We need to obey our parents. That's one of the fundamental ways to honor them. But we also, in honoring them, need to listen to them. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. Let's actually look at a couple of different, or several different passages in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. You know that throughout Proverbs, especially the first 9 chapters, but elsewhere in the book, there's kind of this format of a father speaking to his son and imparting wisdom to his son. And throughout there are admonitions to the son, okay, here's all this wisdom coming your way, but you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to make sure you listen to it. Okay, it's not going to do you any good if you just turn a deaf ear to it. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Well, you can't very well heed it if you don't hear it first. Chapter 19 and verse 27, staying here in Proverbs. Proverbs 19 and verse 27, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Chapter 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. There are times when your parents are going to give you a command. Times when they're going to correct you. Times when they're going to be trying to teach you God's Word. Times when they're going to maybe just simply give you advice. Sometimes as we cross over into adulthood, we don't necessarily have the same kind of relationship with our parents. But even as we get older, maybe have our own families, there may be times when they spot some things and maybe they feel like we're maybe even making some questionable decisions. And they may pull us aside and have some advice for us. What do you need to do in a situation like that? What do I need to do? I need to listen. And the fact of the matter is, they may not be right. They may be right, and they may not be right. But to honor them, I certainly need to respectfully listen to what they have to say. Going back to this idea of correction, I remember, I think I was probably 16, 17 years old, and I had already been given quite a few speaking opportunities there at Oak Grove where I grew up. But there was a church about 30 minutes away from us, congregation that met about 30 minutes away from us. And I was asked to go there and preach on a Sunday night. And I preached, I think, just a little bit less than 20 minutes. I mean, I think I had about 45 minutes of time, but I preached a little less than 20 minutes. And when I got through, everybody, of course, there in the little small congregation, good job, appreciate you coming. My dad said, wasn't a whole lot to that, was there? He said, now, there's nothing wrong with a short sermon. He said, but there wasn't really a whole lot of depth to it. He said, if there had been more depth to it, then it would have been a little bit longer than that. Now, I know in today's society that sounds horrifying. And if you're asking me if my self-esteem was crushed, it absolutely was. My self-esteem was crushed. But that's good. Because my self-esteem got a little bit better after that. Because I started working a little bit harder. And I'll never forget what he followed that all up with. He said, when you're preaching God's Word, you do not ever waste a single opportunity. It's that important. Lives are at stake. Souls are at stake. You don't waste a single opportunity. Now, that was about 40 years ago that that happened. Tell I hadn't forgotten it, right? You remember stuff like that. Listen to your parents. You're going to pick up some jewels. And some of what you hear from them is not going to make a whole lot of sense now. And you may not even think it's anything worthwhile. But keep it in your head, and a little bit later on you're going to say, you know what, Mom and Dad, they're a bit smarter than I realized. Another way, certainly, to honor our parents is to speak respectfully to them. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11 warns about a despicable attitude that children can have. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. And I don't know that I know all that's involved in that, but that's certainly speaking to them with a complete lack of respect. Now, we could certainly say that there's a level of respect with which we should speak to everyone. But there's something special about our parents. We think about all that they've done for us and the position that God has placed them in relation to us, and that is over us. And so there's really a special level of respect that should be shown, and it should be reflected in the way that we speak to them. Speak with gentleness and kindness. Speak with courtesy and respect. Those are all things that are taught throughout the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, also in the New Testament as well. Again, when you speak to them, remember the position of authority that God put them in. They are over you. It's very important to remember that in how we address them. Another way to say thank you another way to honor them is to say thank you. Jumping the gun a little bit there. You remember the story about Jesus healing the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Very familiar story. He healed 10. How many came back to say thank you? Well, just one. Well, I hope the percentage is better among all of us children here. I hope it's more than just 1 out of 10. I hope that we're doing a whole lot better job of that. I have, from my own children, received a number of gifts through the years. You know, there'd be those holiday gifts that they would make at school and bring home to you. And I'm not going to lie to you, there were times when I cried when I got one of those. It kind of always touched me. Received a number of gifts. But I have forgotten a lot of them now. I couldn't list very many of them, even Father's Day gifts. But what I remember more than anything else is the thank yous. The thank yous. Those stick with me. And so, you see, I've got to turn that around and make sure that I apply that. My father's no longer living, but I've got to turn around and apply that to my mother. My mother needs to hear that too. I need to tell her thank you. I need to say it more often than I do. I remember when Jake got married, they were rushing out of the reception, headed out to their honeymoon. I can't remember if he gave us a letter then or he gave it to us, you know, sometime before that. But anyway, it was right around that time. But anyway, he wrote this letter, and it was just a long thank you to his mother and father. And, you know, those words have stuck with me for a long time. And I don't want to use this forum to tout my own children. I hope y'all know me well enough. I try to be very careful about that. But I just use this as an example. I know Leah. I want to publicly commend her because I know Leah. It doesn't matter how small a thing either I do for her or Lynn does or both of us. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom and Dad. And that, again, has a great impact on us. You talk about something that'll just, you know, lift those shoulders up. And also, again, one of the best ways that we can honor them is to simply say thank you. Show some responsibility, some initiative. Don't let Mom and Dad do all the work. They got a lot to do. Don't let them do it all without barely lifting a finger to help. They won't appreciate your laziness, and neither will God. Have you read the passages that speak of laziness? How many passages in the Bible speak of laziness in a good way? Not a single one. I mean, it's spoken of as a completely negative virtue. Let's look at just a few passages. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. Certainly many could be cited, but he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And that's kind of looking on down the road, isn't it? Because the thing about it is, and I'm talking to you younger children, those of you certainly who are still at home, developing a work ethic will serve you very well now and in the future. And I'm not just talking about a work ethic when it comes to the job that you'll have. It will also, I believe, translate into a work ethic for the kingdom. In other words, if you don't know anything but striving hard and working hard and so forth, then you're going to apply that to every endeavor, even to the very most important endeavors, and that is in the kingdom of the Lord. And so, learn to work hard. And here's the thing. Now, I hope nobody goes back and asks my mom about my record on all of this, but when I say show some initiative, obviously when they ask you to help with this or to do this chore or that chore, you need to do it. But it would be nice, wouldn't it? And would it bring honor to them if sometimes you just said, how about I do this for you? Or how about I do that? That would be great, wouldn't it? That's what we mean by show some initiative. In other words, sometimes just go ahead and jump the gun. Now, if it costs a lot of money and could potentially cause damage to the home, you might want to check first, but you get the point. 1 Thessalonians 4. Just to look at one other passage from the New Testament on this point. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. The work ethic, the responsibility, that is a consistent message throughout the New Testament. Another way to honor our parents is to provide for them when they get older. And I know many of you have been put in that very same situation. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4 certainly addresses this in a very specific way. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Repay. That's a word I've got circled in my Bible. Repay. And the reason that I've got it circled in my Bible is to remind me that that is my responsibility. The day certainly will come, and it already has for some, when the tables are turned, when our parents, perhaps our grandparents, depend on us to provide for them. They've been sacrificing and helping us in every way, and we may have to turn around and do the same. And really, if we have the right perspective on this, and I know there are going to be days, and I'm not saying there will be days when no matter how hard you work to have the right attitude, it's just going to be tough. I understand that. But if we kind of, again, focus on that word, repay. We get an opportunity. We have the privilege now of paying them back. That's a better way to look at it, isn't it? Than some grudging obligation. We have the opportunity, the privilege to pay them back. Now, that may come in the form of financial help. It may come in the form of taking them to the doctor. May come in the form of being their nurse. And I've done just a teeny tiny bit of that, and that's tough sledding. It may come in the form of doing chores for them that they no longer can do. Honor your parents by providing for them whatever they need, being willing to repay them. One other one that we'll look at, and I guess we've saved the best for last, and that is to walk in the way of truth. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. If you young people don't know this passage now, please try to commit it to memory. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Just kind of get that in your head. Let's say it one more time. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, with that one in mind, let's look also at Proverbs 23. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 23. And let's look at verses 24 and 25. You tell me if this ain't so. Proverbs 23, 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. So now look at the admonition in verse 25. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So if you put the two verses together, what is the admonition? Or how is that admonition fulfilled? How do you make your father and mother rejoice? By walking in righteousness, by walking in the way of truth. Make no mistake about it. The greatest way that you can honor your parents is by walking in the truth. If they're anywhere close to what they ought to be, that means more to them than anything else. Now, we've talked about the value of saying thank you and showing responsibility, initiative, and all that's certainly involved in walking in the way of truth, but this is the one overarching point in the entire lesson. And not only, of course, will it honor them, it just so happens to be the only way that leads to eternal life. And I know you don't want to miss out on that. You know, I always considered it a privilege to be the child of Gladden and Wilma Gibson. I have wonderful parents. You'll have my mother, of course, but very thankful for the kind of parents that raised me. So I've always considered it a privilege. But it also brings a great responsibility. And we've talked about some of those responsibilities in the lesson. But it's an even greater privilege to be a child of God. The fact that I'm a child of God supersedes everything. And yes, that even influences the way that I treat my parents. But there's no greater privilege than being a child of God. But here's the thing. Just like we said with parents, it's also something that brings great responsibility. There's a certain way that children ought to treat their father. As Christians, we need to remember how we need to honor our God. Go ahead and get out your songbook. We'll sing the song of invitation here in just a moment. We do have some here today who have not yet become children of God. And you are missing out on that wonderful privilege. It's been amazing to me in teaching so much in the Old Testament over the last couple of years how many books of prophecy look forward or predict the blessings that would be found in the Messiah. I particularly struck there in Ezekiel chapter 47 where it presents the new temple, speaking of the church, the blessings that would be in Christ. You got a guy that goes out in the water and it's about knee deep and then it's about waist deep and then he's just completely covered up with water. And the picture that's painted there is, unless I've missed something, is we are just swimming in blessings. We just have an overflowing abundance of blessings in Jesus Christ. And so it is a wonderful privilege to be a child of God. To be in that great body, that fellowship of all the saved. You don't want to miss out on that. Do you understand your condition apart from God? That you are in sin. That the only way that can be saved from those sins is through Jesus Christ, through His blood. Will you believe in Him? Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him. And be buried with Him in baptism. Please come as we stand and sing.